How many here are friends of God? Let me see your hands. Yes. Woo! As you say, right? I love that song. I was just telling Pastor Patrick, that is my favorite of all, that's my favorite song of all times. Because to think that God would consider me a friend. See, you don't know me, but God knows me. And the fact that he would consider me a friend is just astounding. How many are grateful that in spite of the fact of who you are, who you can be, and you know who you are, and you know who you can be, God still calls you friend. Isn't that a wonderful thought when you think of it? Yes, that's, he deserves a hand clap for that, right? When we think about the things that we have done, the things that we have said, the things that we have thought up in our minds and how crazy we are sometimes. I got news for you, young lady who testified. I don't know where she's at. She says she has issues, but you know what? We all have issues, don't we? You won't admit it, but you all have issues. We all have issues. But in spite of our issues, God still loves us. I am so grateful to be here. It is an honor to be here with you tonight. As Pastor Patrick said, he and I have been friends for quite a number of years, and it's always a privilege whenever I get to come here and be with you all. I got three ladies who are extremely upset with me right now, and that would be my wife and my two daughters, because my son and I came, because every time we come here, we jam. You guys know how to rock in Jesus' name. And so they're really upset with me right now that they couldn't come. So before I get into my little message, I just ask, please pray for a brother before, so when I get back, that they'll still love me, okay? All right. If you have your Bibles, I want to just share something brief. It's a little simple thought. I should say a little simple message that the Lord placed in my heart. And I didn't understand it until just when the gentleman and the lady testified, and I realized, okay, God, that's what you wanted. That's where you wanted to go, and I'm grateful that I'm obeying you today. And it's found in John chapter 2. So before I read, if you have your Bibles, go there, John chapter 2. And before I read, I just want to pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be here with your people tonight. And God, as we already sense, you are here with us, Lord. Thank you for your presence here, because it's your presence that makes the difference. God, you know I don't have much to say, but Lord, I have your word to share, and your word is plenty. And now, God, like that little boy with the loaves and the fish, just take it, Lord. Take the little that I have. God, I pray that you would bless it, break it, multiply it. Let each and every person that have come into this house here today, let each of us, Lord, including myself, leave here fed and satisfied, because we have received something from you. Bless now, God, my words, I pray. In Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. In John chapter 2, very familiar passage of scripture. If you've been in church in any amount of time, you know this passage of scripture. If you don't, if you haven't been in church in it for a significant amount of time, you're going to learn it today. John chapter 2, I'm going to start verse 1 through verse 11. And it reads like this. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus, yeah, wine is in the Bible, yes. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? Or dear woman, why are you concerning me?" He says, "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some water out, draw some out now, and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drank, then the inferior," meaning they brought out, you know, the lesser wine. "You have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and he manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." Look up here. You know, this past month, there was a great thing going on. It's called March Madness. Anybody watch March Madness? About 5 of you. Wow. Okay. Right? So this is the NCAA, this is the men and women's basketball tournament, and it was just great. As you see, all of these big-name teams kind of went down, you know. It came down to, I think, one team was an 11th seed or something like that. And the women's championship was the best one to me, actually. I thought they played a great game. But throughout the games, as I was watching with a buddy of mine, I kept hearing this being said over and over. There was this one phrase kept being said over and over. Man, he's a game changer. Man, she's a game changer. Oh, you better watch out now. He's in a game. You know, he's a game changer. Oh, you better watch out now. Here she goes. Look at that shot. She's a game changer. And I just wanted to know, what exactly is a game changer? I know there's a book that came out called A Game Changer, but what exactly is a game changer? And a game changer is someone who comes into a game, right? And they're able to change, the outcome because of how great they are, because of how well they play. Whether it's a crossover, now I'm not a basketball guy, I'm a football guy, but whether they do it as crossover, or whether they do the jump shot, layup, whatever the case, whatever all those things are in basketball. But the phrase that kept being said over and over and over, he's a game changer, she's a game changer. And it got me thinking about Jesus. Jesus is a true game changer. Do I get one amen out there? And here's a story about him changing the game. Here's a story about him changing the game. As we just finished reading here, there was this wedding in Cana of Galilee. And Jesus is there with his disciples along with his mother, and something happens. Here's what happens. The wedding now is a joyous occasion, right? A wedding is something to be, you know, cheerful about, joyous about. This is a wonderful time. I mean, imagine, here we go. This guy with this young lady, they've been courting, they've been liking each other and, you know, staying up late at night and not even talking, just hearing each other breathe on the phone. Not back then, but now, right? And are you there? Yeah. You there? Yeah. Are you there? Yeah. Are you there? Yeah. You know, that's it. But now it goes from that, and now it goes from that to now. Obviously, this wasn't back then, right? I'm glad you're with me. But now it goes from that to now. They're spending more time with each other to the point where he's saying, look, I want you to be part of my life. And he got on his knees. Hint, hint. He got on his knees. Right, ladies? Yeah. Right. He got on his knees and he said, will you marry me? So, of course, she accepted. And here they are. It's their wedding day. Can you imagine? How many would say, man, this is wonderful, right? Finally, the day has arrived. All our family and friends are here. We invited people from the neighborhood, people that we grew up with. I mean, this is great. Everyone's just rejoicing with us. But something happened at this wedding. The Bible says that they ran out of wine. Now, why is that so significant? So what? They ran out. Go out and get some more. It wasn't that simple. And why was the wine such a big deal? Well, because the wine, right, as we know, represented joy. The wine represented joy because the more they had, the more joyful they were, right? Okay, but wine represents joy. Actually, that's what it represents in the Bible. But listen, here's the thing. They ran out of wine. Now, running out of wine was not a good thing to happen. Because when you invite all of these guests, all of these people, what they're expecting is they're expecting wine at the party. It was part of the festival. And so to run out of it meant shame and meant embarrassment. It meant like, wow, you invited all of us here for this, and now there's nothing left. What's wrong with you? You know, shame on you. And it brought great embarrassment to a family if they ran out of wine. Did you hear what the master of ceremony said? He says, wow, when Jesus changed the water into wine, which I'm going to get into, he says, usually, man, at least at the end is when they bring out the lesser wine, the wine that is not as strong, because by that time people have had enough. I mean, had so much, they don't know the difference. But here, it wasn't a matter of having any lesser wine, weaker wine, I should say. They didn't have any wine at all. And so by not having this wine, they knew, this joyous, fun-filled occasion, this time of everyone just celebrating with us, this time of everyone high-fiving, saying, way to go, she's a lucky girl, he's a lucky guy. Guess what? Now, it meant embarrassment. Now, instead of walking with their heads up high, they're going to walk with their heads down low. Because all of the people in the community were going to talk about them. And they weren't going to say, what a great wedding we had. Oh, man, hey, Tyrone, great wedding. Hey, great wedding. They were going to say, he ran out of wine. Can you believe it? He invited people. How do you have a party and not, you know, make adjustments and know how many people are coming? Oh, embarrassing. Boy, embarrassing. And that kind of shame and that type of embarrassment was not an easy one for them, because it went from one generation to the next. You remember Tyrone's wedding? Yeah, I know it was 50 years ago, but do you remember what happened at that wedding? Hey, aren't your parents Tyrone and Cassandra? Yeah, they're the ones who ran out of wine, right? Yeah, you're laughing. But they weren't laughing. This was a time of panic for them. But something happened. Mary, the mother of Jesus, found out about this somehow. And so what did she do? She went right to Jesus and said, they've run out of wine. They've run out of wine. And here's Jesus just being Jesus. right? And of course, he felt like it wasn't his time. And that's a message in itself, saying, listen, my time has not come yet, meaning it's not time for me to start doing these things. But she came to him. And there's a beautiful lesson in that right there. That when we call out to him, whether it's his time or not, you know what? He responds to people who cry out to him. I want to say it one more time. He responds. Jesus responds to people who come to him with a need. And so Jesus now, obviously at the end of the story, we know what happened. Jesus now performed a great miracle, and this water turned into wine. I love this. The water turned into wine. He took something that was bland, something that was just ordinary, if you will, something bland, and he turned it into something that was sweet. He took something that was ordinary, if you will, and he turned it into something that was absolutely extraordinary. So much so, get this, that this wine was better than the first wine. That when Jesus gets involved in something, or when Jesus gets involved with someone, he makes them better than they were before. That he's able, notice, it's the same element, it's liquid, but yet this liquid turned into something other. Sort of like what was said here today. I saw a young lady up here, and I'm sure if people from Louisiana saw her, they would say, that's so-and-so, because she still is the same. That's her look. That's her face. That's her body. That's her hair. The same thing with this gentleman who stood it. That's his look. That's his hair. That's him. That's who he is, right? Yeah, that's who he is in terms of his element, if you will, his body. But you know, how many would agree? Those are different people up there. There's something different on the inside of them. Do I get two amens out there, right? Yeah, let's put our hands together for what the Lord did in their lives. He's changed them. He's changed this. It's liquid, yes, but it's no longer just water. It's something sweet. It's wine. They ran out of this joy, if you will, but yet he replaced it. And so as I begin to just ponder this for these next few minutes, I just want to ask you, what have you run out of? What was it that was bringing you joy that you've run out of, if you will, and now you find yourself in a place, because many of you, I would imagine the reason why the Lord put this in my heart is because maybe you hear, and you know what? You don't have joy. Maybe you've run out. Or maybe something's run out on you. As I'm looking at teenagers here, maybe a parent has run out on you. It was joy when they were all there. Or maybe it wasn't joy when they were there, but it was nice having two parents. But maybe someone has run out on you. I'm sure there are people here, as I heard someone mentioning about cutting and things like that, I'm sure there are people who are going through those types of things right now. There is no joy in your life. There is no peace in your life. There are all kinds of things taking place in your life right now. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I know you're Christian. But even as a Christian, there may still be things going on in your life. Because last I checked, we're still in the world. We're not of the world, but we're in the world. And there are things that hit us at all times. Do I get another amen out there, right? And serving Christ does not immune us from attacks and things like that. And because sometimes we get just, look, let's just be honest. The young lady read from Galatians. When Paul wrote that letter, the apostle Paul wrote the letter to Galatians. Guess what? Galatia, he wasn't writing to non-believers. He was writing to Christians. Don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. Which means there are moments and there are times when we all can get weak. And when we get weak, as I've gotten weak in my life, you know what? I don't experience that joy that Jesus says that I can have. Because maybe something has been taken away or something has run out. I know in my life there are times when there were friends that I had and my joy was with those friends, but now they're no longer in my life. And sometimes, and at that time, I would say, at that time, you know what? I was lacking joy, if you will. There are times when my wife and I, there was a time when my wife and I didn't know if our marriage would make it. There was no joy then. How do I explain that to my three children? There were times in the church, pastoring a new church, as Pastor Patrick and I were talking, and listen, I love God, I like to share his word, and I mean, listen, you can't get anyone who loves Jesus more, I promise you that, right? But there were moments, I tell you right now, when just things were hitting me that there was just no joy. And guess what? I was ready to cave in. I was ready to give up. But then I realize, as I'm saying this now, but there's a game changer here. And his name is Jesus. Even though, wait, we'll clap hopefully at the end. Because even though it looks sad right now, the wine is running out. I mean, I don't know what the wine is in your life. You fill in the blanks. You all take algebra. X plus 5 equals 10, right? You fill in the X. But guess what? Maybe in your life, you know what? You've gotten to that place where something has run out. Like I said, maybe it's friends, maybe it's parents, maybe it's a girlfriend, a boyfriend. You were so wrapped up with him or her, and now they're no longer there, and now it's like, oh, blah, right? But there's a game changer, and his name is Jesus. And just like in this story, where it looked like all hope was gone, it looked like, man, guess what? They were going to be embarrassed. It looks like they were going to be sorrow. It looks like their biggest, greatest day was about to become an ultimate failure. But somehow or the other, guess what? Jesus got word that they were in need of wine. And what I love is this. Jesus turned the whole situation around. But how did he do it? And this is how I'm going to end right here, because I want us to pray. How did he do it? How did this game, how did this game change? What took place? How did the game changer change the game? I tell you how he changed the game. In John chapter 2, I want you to look at verse 5 here. Look at verse 5. Is it up on the screen? Is verse 5 on the screen? Okay, let me read it. John chapter 2, verse 5. Is it on the screen? Read it with me. Come on. Say those last two words nice and strong. Ready? Start from the beginning. What? No, no, no. His mother's. Start from the beginning. Ready? His mother. Say it again. Say it again. Do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. Do it. When I was watching these games, what I saw is there's a position called point guard, as I'm learning about basketball now because I'm really into it now, right? Don't laugh. But the point guard is the one who controls the game. And the point guard, he or she is the one who's giving directions, giving instructions on what to do as they're getting it from the coach. And guess what the other four players have to do? They have to do what the point guard is saying to do. And what I have found in my life and what I'm trying to encourage you with tonight is this. That Jesus is the game changer, but here's how he changes the game. He gives you instructions on what to do. And when he gives you instructions on what to do, you can't say, that sounds good, it seems cool, all right, I heard that before. You know what you have to do? Okay, remedial class. You know what you have to do? Do it. He gives instructions. Through his word, obviously through his word, first and foremost through his word. But because we're children of God, we have the Spirit of God who lives in us. And how many of us in here, and I want to see by a raise of hand, how many of us in here have spent time with the Lord and you've heard the Holy Spirit mention things to you in your heart? Maybe you won't find that verse, but you know he spoke something specific to you in the times of prayer. Let me see your hand. Yeah, of course he has. Because God is a God who still speaks. And he gave them instructions on what to do. Notice, he gave them instructions on what to do. He says, take those water pots, and I want you to fill those water pots with water. But wait a minute, we need wine. I know what you need. Fill those water pots with water. You know what? Those people that you consider friends right now, they're not good for you. Bad company corrupts good morals. But I grew up with them. I didn't ask you if you grew up with them. I'm just saying to you. Bad company corrupts good morals. Matter of fact, that's what the word of God says. Just like that gentleman here, I don't know what his job was per se, but whatever it was, God was dealing with him. Because the Bible says everything is permissible, but not everything is what? Beneficial. So we can do a lot of things, but is it benefiting us? Is it beneficial to us? And so what we have to do is we have to make sure that we're hearing from the game changer. What the game changer doesn't do is he doesn't go, voila. Is that the word? Right, okay. He doesn't do that. He doesn't just wave his hand and things change. You know what he does? He uses us to cause the change. We have to hear what he says, and then we have to what? Do it. We have to hear what he says, and then we have to what? Do it. Here it is in verse 7. Verse 7, can you read that nice and loud? Do you see that? Jesus said to them, and then they did it. And what happens a lot of times, at least I've found this to be true, is that we hear the Spirit of God telling us to do something, but it doesn't make sense to us. Can you imagine if they said to Jesus, but that doesn't make sense? Why would we fill water pots with water? They have water. What we need is wine. You're telling us to do the opposite of what they need. Shouldn't we go see if we can buy some wine to save these people? No, no. Because what he does is he makes it impossible so that he can show you that with him all things are possible. Because then why would you need him? If you can do it, why would you need him? The reason why he allows and permits and allows things to get to the place that they get to is so that he can show you and he can show me our need of him. And then guess what? When we cry out to him, you know what he does? He performs. He performs. The most important thing as I wrap this little talk up, because the most important thing we're going to do tonight is pray. Maybe someone can play "Wrap Me in Your Arms, Please." The most important thing is this. Because it's nice that we know, okay, whatever he says, we have to do it. But we all know that, right? That's we all know that, yes? Yeah, of course. You're here tonight. You know that. And we know we just can't hear because the Bible says, don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a what? Doer of the word. And then we're blessed by it. No one has ever been blessed by just hearing God's word. Anyone tell you, I was blessed by that. Well, are you doing that? No. Well, then if you're not doing it, you're not blessed. The blessing comes in doing. Everyone hears God's word, but it's when we act on God's word, that's when the blessing comes. Because see, when did the water turn into wine? When they heard him? No, it's when they were doing it. As they begin to do what he said to do, then the water turned into wine. And whatever the Lord has put on your heart to do, I want to encourage you to do it. As painful as it may seem, as embarrassing as it may seem, for some of you here, maybe it's a call you need to make to a parent. Because you know what? You're hurting. But you've never shared with them what it is that they've done to you and how it's hurt you. But that doesn't make sense. They're the one who hurts me. I got you. But you know what the word says? If someone offends you, yeah, you go to try to make it right. You go to that person, not just waiting for that person to come to you. Oh, come on, man. Get with it, man. This is 2011. I know it's 2011. This was written before 2011. And it worked then and it'll work now. Sometimes you have to make that call. Am I making sense, brothers and sisters? And I know it doesn't seem right. And I don't know why God put that on my heart today as I was driving in, but that's what he put in my heart today. That there are people here who need to call their parents. Maybe that parent who has run out, if you will. And you need to let them know how you feel. Respectfully, but let them know how you feel. And in doing that, he can turn the water into wine. He can turn something that's bitter and make it sweet as you do what his word says to do. So I'm grateful that, you know what, if we hear his word and do his word, I'm grateful that he's able to change the game. But here's the most important part. How did the game change for these people that day? How did the game change for these people that day? And when I tell you this, you're going to say, get out of here, man. We knew that. But are you practicing this? Verse 2 of chapter 2. Can you read that nice and loud? Is it there? John 2:2. Read it nice and loud. One more time. One last time. Jesus was invited. Jesus was invited to the wedding. And that's the word of the Lord for us tonight. Have you invited Jesus into your circumstance? I didn't ask you if you came to church. I didn't ask you if you asked Pastor Patrick or Rosa or any of the other leaders to come. Can you pray for me? I'm asking you, have you invited Jesus to your circumstance? Have you said to Jesus, Jesus, this is what I'm going through. And if you don't help me, this is what's going to happen to me. Jesus, you understand everything I'm going through because your word says that you've experienced everything that I would ever experience, yet you did not sin. So this is what I'm going through. And because you've experienced it for me, I need your help in this situation. I'm inviting you, Jesus. I'm not calling the church. I'm not calling the pastor, as wonderful as that is, and saying, look, please pray for me. I'm saying, Jesus, I need you today because I need this game to change. I'm losing this game. Maybe you're struggling with something here today. I noticed how that young lady, when she got up here and began to talk about the different things that she was going through, it wasn't so much shock that I saw and heard in the faces of the people. What I did notice is this, that some of you were identifying with what she was saying. But do you know the same way God changed her, God can change you? You know the same way God changed him, God can change you? You know the same way God is still changing me, God can change you? But you know what God doesn't do? God doesn't come. He's not a gangster. He doesn't come and just take over and put you in a headlock and say surrender. You know what he does? He just waits to be invited. And when you invite him, that's when he comes. When you say, you know what? I'm tired of hearing about what everyone else has done. And I'm tired of hearing about how you've changed each one of them. I know it's in the Bible that you change water into wine. But today, I'm not at a wedding of Cana. But you know what? I'm in Manhattan. Or you know what? I'm in the Bronx. You know what? I'm in Staten Island. You know what? I'm in this crazy house with these crazy parents. I'm in this crazy house with this crazy man or this crazy lady. I go to this crazy school with these crazy kids. As a matter of fact, I wake up every morning, I look in the mirror, and I see this crazy person. And I need you to come in and change this water into wine. I need you to take away this bitterness and make me sweet. I need you to take away this pain and make me comfortable. Now, I need you to change me from the inside out, but I invite you, Jesus, to do that. And what I've learned about Christ as I read his word is anyone who's ever cried out to him has never been ignored. When you read in the scriptures and you see that he's walking, you know what? He's walking in Jericho. He's walking in different places. And there are people crowded all around him. And they're all crying out, Jesus, Jesus. And they want to touch him. But there was one instance where there was these two blind men crying out, Jesus. And one of them said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And although there were tons of people crying out to him, you know what? He stopped. And he heard their cry. And he responded to the cry of the one who said, I invite you to change my situation. When there was a woman with an issue of blood, and I'm sure you've heard this story. If not, you can read about it and how there were many people pressing around Jesus. And guess what? As Jesus was walking and someone touched him, it was this lady. And he says, who touched me? And his disciples were like, are you kidding me? Come on, Jesus. Who touched you with all these people around you? What do you mean who touched you? He says, no. Healing virtue left me because someone touched me, invited me into their circumstance and into their situation. He wouldn't move further until he went to or got involved in the one who invited him. And so today, there could be a lot of noise here. There could be a lot of jumping. I am a friend of God, free for all. And you could be doing all these different moves. But let me tell you something. Not everyone in here will have water turn into wine. Not everyone in here will have their situation change. You know who will have their situations change? The one who invites him into their situation. So now it would be shameful, wouldn't it? Think about this for a second. Wouldn't it be just jacked up, messed up? As my daughter would say, wouldn't you leave out of here tight? If you had an opportunity to have your situation changed, but you walked out of here saying, ah, I'm all right. Some would call it quite foolish, wouldn't you think? I would. I mean, you're telling me that what they have, I can have also? That he's no respecter of person? That this thing that I'm going through, whatever that thing is, that Jesus can change it? The same Jesus who spoke the world into existence. The same Jesus who knew where to put the sun, who knew where to put the moon. The same Jesus who knew where to put the earth. The same Jesus that knew that our climate would cause life to survive. That same Jesus who put the stars in place, who knows everything. That same Jesus can, wait a minute, you mean he wants to be involved in my life? Yeah. If you invite him. Mary was there. That didn't make the difference. The master's ceremony was there. That didn't make the difference. The disciples were there. As wonderful as they were, that didn't make the difference. Disciples, pastors, youth pastors, leaders. The game changer was Jesus. You would look at the game on television and say, why do they have her on the bench? She's a game changer. Why do they have him on the bench? They're down by five. Come on, put him in the game. Because if you put them in the game will change. And I'm saying to you today, why do you have Jesus on the bench? Invite him to the game. Let him take over, because that's what game changers do. And you will win. Because he says that I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That means I've come that you may have a satisfying life. A satisfied life. Bow your heads with me if you will. With every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know who you are. I don't know why God put this little simple just thought message on me to share, except that I know that there must be people here that he's speaking to right now. There has to be people here that you looked up here and you saw those two and you said, man, I wish I was changed like that. I wish that could happen in my life. I wish this would stop happening in my life. I wish I could stop being hooked on that. I wish I would stop giving in to this. I wish I could just say no to those things that I know doesn't please the Lord. And I'm here to say to you, it's all good. You're here. But most importantly, the game changer's here. But you got to let him in the game. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, it's not a time to look around. It's a time just to invite the game changer into the situation, into the game, if you will. If you're here today and you would say, Tyrone, you don't need to know my circumstance. You don't need to know what I'm going through. But I know what God is saying to me today. Yep, I got to do what he says. Not just hear him, I got to do what he says. But I know what he says. But what I need to do is invite him into the game. And tonight, I want to say, okay, Jesus, it's your turn now. I'm giving the ball over to you. Now take over. If that's you here, I don't want you to stand alone. I don't want you to sit alone. We want to stand with you and pray with you. Don't leave out of here the same way you came. Come on, give him a chance to take over this game for you. If that's you here, why don't you just come out of your seat? If you don't want to come alone, tell your friend with you, hey, just come up with me and just come. And let's stand here together. I know, you know what, for me personally, I'm standing. Even though I'm not down here, I'm standing. Because there's some things in my life I need him to take over. So if that's you, just come. I'm going to wait for you right now. Don't look around to see who else is coming. Hey, listen, it's your game. This is your game now. He plays in everyone's game and in every individual game. I say that reverently, but you know what I mean by that. And when you come, I'm going to ask you to just do one simple thing so that we know symbolically your hands are off the rock, off the ball. Just lift your hands. You don't lift them, have to lift them way out. Just lift your hands. That's just a simple sign of just I surrender. I take my hands off the ball, Jesus, and I give it over to you. I need this water to turn to wine. I need that joy that you give. I need peace in my mind, peace in my heart. You could be married here. I need peace in my marriage. I need peace with my parents. I need peace in my own heart and mind because of the things I'm struggling with. And all you're simply saying is, Jesus, I'm inviting you now. Now, don't wait for anyone to pray for you. Just right where you are, like Pastor Patrick says, it doesn't have to be loud. Just right where you are, just begin to cry out to him. And I have some leaders and workers who are here. Everyone, Pastor Patrick's asking if everyone would stand. And you know what? As we pray for those here, I'm going to ask this. Maybe because you've invited him and he's in your game, if you will, and I'm happy about that. But why don't you turn to someone right now, those of you who are sitting here in the seats, I should say, why don't you do this? Men with men and ladies with ladies, just pray. Help us to keep Jesus in the game. that no matter what we go through, we will continue to keep Jesus in the game, meaning in our lives. We will always invite him to every situation, every circumstance. Can we do that right now? Come on, you're not afraid to do that, are you? Men with men and ladies with ladies, just begin to pray. Because I'm happy that right now you've given him the ball and he's carrying it. But there may come a time where you may get weak. Just begin to pray one for another as we pray for those up here. Pastor Patrick, if you would come. Look up here, everyone. I was asked Pastor Patrick, it's okay if I just close out this way, because I was just sitting there. And it's wonderful when we can come together and just call out to God together. Amen. Visitors who are here, I'm so grateful you're here. And listen, I believe the game is about to change now. Can we say amen to that? The game is about to change now. And I know you know I mean that reverently, you know, because he's no point guard. Jesus isn't a point guard, right? He's Lord of all, amen? But we're inviting him now into our circumstance situation. But you know what I realized as I was sitting there? This story was a joyous story because Jesus was there. Things changed. And you know what they kept on doing? They kept on rejoicing. So what I think is fitting right now is for us, we've cried out. Right? We've made our petition known. We've cried out and said, okay, Jesus, we can't do this. You have to do it. We take our hands off. Now have your way. Great. Guess what? He's heard us. Guess what? He now has the ball. So now, you know what? We can be like cheerleaders and we can rejoice and we can shout and go, go, Jesus, go. Right? Amen. And so if I asked Pastor Patrick if this was okay, I think the way to end today, and because I'm a guest, I'm going to take liberty, is if we sing, I mean really sing, I am a friend of God. How many here today, you're a friend of God? That was so weak. Can I tell you something? Another thing that I was challenged by when I was watching these games, I watched all these different teams and everyone has the different mascots. And I noticed, boy, those who, well, you know, I'm a little partial to this. Those who had hair, right? Their hair was a different color. Their faces were painted half this, half that. And no one thought they were crazy. Matter of fact, the crazier they looked, the more the fans were like, yo, way to go, man. You're a real fan, right? So how should it be for those of us who know who our God is? Amen? We should not be afraid to sing, to shout, to clap, to jump, to do whatever for Jesus Christ. So come on, band, let's get that music pumping. Let's all stand together. Come on, if you know how to sway, sway. If you know how to move your hands, move your hands. They're going to lead us today. But we're going to leave out of here rejoicing in the God of our salvation. Amen.